First Samuel 12 through 13. Then Samuel said to all Israel, "Behold, I have listened to your voice for all that you said to me, and I have appointed a king over you. Now here is the king walking before you. But as for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. And I have walked before you since my youth to this day. Here I am. Testify against me before the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I exploited? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to close my eyes with it? I will return it to you." And they said, "You have not exploited us or oppressed us, or taken anything from anyone's hand." So he said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have found nothing in my hand." And they said, "He is witness." Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron, and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now then, take your stand, so that I may enter into judgment with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord that he did for you and your fathers. When Jacob went into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them. They cried out to the Lord, and said, 'We have sinned, because we have abandoned the Lord, and have served the Baals, and the Ashtaroth. But now save us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you.' Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Bedan, Jephthah, and Samuel, and saved you from the hands of your enemies all around, so that you lived in security. But when you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, was coming against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us.' Yet the Lord your God was your king. And now behold, the king whom you have chosen, whom you have asked for, and behold, the Lord has put a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, and listen to his voice, and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. But if you do not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you, even as it was against your fathers. Even now, take your stand, and see this great thing which the Lord is going to do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord, that he will send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, by asking for yourselves a king." So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Then all the people said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that we do not die. For we have added to all our sins this evil, by asking for ourselves a king." Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have committed all this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Indeed, you must not turn aside, for then you would go after useless things which cannot benefit or save, because they are useless. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Furthermore, as for me, far be it from me that I would sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. But I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do evil, both you and your king will be swept away." Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 42 years over Israel. Now Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, of whom 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash, and in the hill country of Bethel, while 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. But he sent the rest of the people away, each to his tent, and Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard the news that Saul had attacked the garrison of the Philistines, and also that Israel had become repulsive to the Philistines. Then the people were summoned to Saul at Gilgal. Now the Philistines assembled to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and the people like the sand which is on the seashore in abundance. And they came up and camped in Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble, for the people were hard-pressed, then the people kept themselves hidden in caves, in crevices, in cliffs, in crypts, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed the Jordan into the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Now he waited for 7 days, until the appointed time that Samuel had set. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. But as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Since I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come at the appointed time, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked for the favor of the Lord." So I worked up the courage and offered the burnt offering. But Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For the Lord would now have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Then Samuel set out and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul counted the people who were present with him, about 600 men. Now Saul, his son Jonathan, and the people who were present with them were staying in Geba of Benjamin, while the Philistines camped at Michmash. Then raiders came from the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned toward Ophrah, to the land of Shual, and another company turned toward Beth-horon, and another company turned toward the border that overlooks the valley of Zeboim, toward the wilderness. Now no blacksmith could be found in all the land of Israel, because the Philistines said, "Otherwise the Hebrews will make swords or spears." So all Israel went down to the Philistines, each to sharpen his plowshare, his mattock, his axe, and his hoe. The charge was 2/3 of a shekel for the plowshares, the mattocks, the forks, and the axes, and to fix the cattle goads. So it came about on the day of battle that neither sword nor spear was found in the hands of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and his son Jonathan. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the gorge of Michmash. Mark 13. As he was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew were questioning him privately, "Tell us, when will these things come about, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will mislead many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are only the beginning of birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will hand you over to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues. And you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And when they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you at that time. For you are not the one speaking, but it is the Holy Spirit. And brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. And children will rise up against parents, and have them put to death. And you will be hated by everyone because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Now, when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down, nor go in to get anything out of the house. And whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those women who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Moreover, pray that it will not happen in winter. For those days will be such a time of tribulation as has not occurred since the beginning of the creation which God created until now, and never will again. And if the Lord had not shortened those days, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "Look, here he is," do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise, and will provide signs and wonders, in order to mislead, if possible, the elect. But beware, I have told you everything in advance. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels, and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of heaven. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. As soon as its branch has become tender and sprouts its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day, or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Watch out, stay alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. It is like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay alert. Therefore, stay alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, so that he does not come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all. Stay alert. Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth of all the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. Now observe how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. And those indeed of the sons of Levi who receive the priest's office have a commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their countrymen, although they are descended from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. In this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case, one receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives on. And, so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who receives tithes, has paid tithes, for he was still in the loins of his forefather when Melchizedek met him. So if perfection was through Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise to the order of Melchizedek, and not to be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also, for the one about whom these things are said belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses said nothing concerning priests. And this is clearer still. If another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is attested of him, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, there is the nullification of a former commandment, because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the introduction of a better hope, through which we come near to God, and to the extent that it was not without an oath. For they indeed became priests without an oath, but he with an oath, through the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn, and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." By the same extent, Jesus also has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is also able to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who has no daily need, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because he did this once for all time, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son, who has been made perfect forever. Proverbs 15, 1 through 11. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge pleasant, but the mouth of fools spouts foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who complies with rebuke is sensible. Great wealth is in the house of the righteous, but trouble is in the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves the one who pursues righteousness. There is severe punishment for one who abandons the way, One who hates a rebuke will die. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of mankind? Psalm 109. God of my praise, do not be silent, for they have opened a wicked and deceitful mouth against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred, and have fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they act as my accusers, but I am in prayer. So they have repaid me evil for good, and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked person over him, and may an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, may he come out guilty, and may his prayer become sin. May his days be few. May another take his office. May his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg, and may they seek sustenance far from their ruined homes. May the creditor seize everything that he has, and may strangers plunder the product of his labor. May there be none to extend kindness to him, nor any to be gracious to his fatherless children. May his descendants be eliminated. May their name be wiped out in a following generation. May the guilt of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and do not let the sin of his mother be wiped out. May they be before the Lord continually, so that he may eliminate their memory from the earth, because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the afflicted and the needy person, and the despondent in heart, to put them to death. He also loved cursing, so it came to him, and he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing as his garment, and it entered his body like water, and like oil into his bones. May it be to him as a garment with which he covers himself, and as a belt which he constantly wears around himself. May this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, and of those who speak evil against my soul. But you, God, the Lord, deal kindly with me for the sake of your name, because your mercy is good, rescue me. For I am afflicted and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am passing like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like the locust. My knees are weak from fasting, and my flesh has grown lean without fatness. I also have become a disgrace to them. When they see me, they shake their head. Help me, Lord my God, save me according to your mercy, and may they know that this is your hand. You, Lord, have done it. They will curse, but you will bless. When they arise, they will be ashamed, but your servant will be glad. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor, and may they cover themselves with their own shame as with a robe. With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, and I will praise him in the midst of many, for he stands at the right hand of the needy, to save him from those who judge his soul.